And joining us now is Terry Irving, TV producer, journalist, now author. The Courier is his new thriller set in the Watergate era about a motorcycle courier who's shuttling news footage back to the network about the president. And maybe somebody wants that footage because of what's on there. And he's here to talk a little bit about that. Now, Terry, if I understand correctly, you actually got your start in that type of occupation, a motorcycle courier for a network?
Absolutely. Good morning, gentlemen. Somebody came and offered me money and said, all we want you to do is ride around on a BMW in all day long for 11 hours. And, you know, I was like, yeah? And you're going to pay me? I did that for about 6-7 months during Watergate. I missed all the hot spots. I got to see Spiro Agnew plead nolo contendere to taking cheesy bribes in the office of the vice president, but that was the main one.
Did you ever think when you were transporting any of these tapes that there was something really important, you know, that life or death kind of a thing?
It was not, first off, not tapes, film.
Oh, 15 film.
15mm color reverse film. That's why we had the couriers. Think about it. It had to get back to the bureau to be developed. We had to get back there 42 minutes before air. It may have been 22, my memory's going. We occasionally got that feeling.
That there was
bringing something in from Vietnam or, you know, and yeah, you, I, that was one of the things I liked about it. I mean, I liked the feeling of a team of smart people working on a project together and a project that actually might occasionally mean something more than, you know, selling hemorrhoid paste.
You always make those deadlines?
Oh, yeah. Well, it just required primarily being willing to drive on sidewalks at high speed. You know, counting on traffic to keep the police from catching. I didn't say any of that. I admit nothing.
I see.
And deny it all.
Well, maybe the statute of limitations on most of those traffic violations has passed. I'm not sure about that that particular thing. What made you to kind of get into the thriller aspect of writing and that sort of thing?
It really good reason, actually. It was a deep psychological need. I'm out of money. I haven't got a job, so I had to do something. I felt I had... over the years, I've been thinking of... it's funny because courier... The only thing I really knew I was going to use was the first scene where he's riding a motorcycle and he hits a patch of ice and he just automatically, you know, pops the accelerator, kicks the rear end back in line and keeps going. And because I remember that. I remember that feeling that the bike was like my legs. Most of Courier is not about me, because I'm not that good-looking, that cute, and not that smart, and I can't ride that well. But the place, the Washington, the old Washington of where congressmen and senators would live there for 20, 30 years, where they all knew each other, where, you know, there were dirty little alleys everywhere that's how you got through town. I remember that, and I really liked that place. I liked it a lot better than the Washington that's there now.
So that place to you had a lot of character to it, or characters, I suppose, too.
It did. I mean, now every congressman is out of there Thursday at like 4 o'clock. Every congressman is out of there, and they're not being lazy. They're out of there because if they're not home for the entire weekend, they're not going to get reelected. And, you know, they're going home to work. And I don't know. I mean, yeah, the drive of politics now is so bitter and so desperate that I understand how they can't make a deal. They can't. They don't know anybody, for one thing. And I didn't have dinner with them. The wives don't talk. They didn't go out to the... I remember the Maison d'Or. That was my biggest thing. I had a $20 dinner, and I was trying to figure out what possibly could be worth $20 to eat.
Wow.
But that was a long time ago.
Well, in a sense, though, you're thinking because they're not sort of stuck there, they do their business and then run and, I don't want to say run and hide, but they go away back to their home states or their areas. They're not forced to kind of meld together and come up with likenesses
or
something.
I mean, you had famous friendships, Bob Dole and Ted Kennedy and things like that. And they were friendships. They didn't agree on anything, except a lot of them had been in the Second World War. But they didn't agree. But, they knew each other. They trusted each other on a personal basis. The scrutiny from home was not so instant by instant as it is now. And now, essentially, both sides are captive of the most extreme part of their party, because that's who votes in the primary.
We're talking today with Terry Irving, TV producer, journalist. New thriller is called Courier. I wonder if, because of the Watergate era, that's the time where we see there's a definite kind of split of how journalism and politics kind of work together up until that point. Do you think this is sort of a kind of result of that, where we're always looking for, what's wrong with it, or we're trying to get as much information?
Boy, am I getting to pontificate today, man? You're paying much more attention than you should to a Courier. What happened in Watergate, oddly enough, was that the press was important for about the first time ever, or at least that I can remember. I mean, you got to remember, the press was a bunch of sort of despised hacks. A good number, high percentage, I'd say 20-30% of the people I knew in the business, and at Peter Jennings, did not have college degrees. It was not considered a classy profession. After Watergate, suddenly every college in the country took its speech department, I don't know if you remember those, and turned it into a communications department because it was cheap, a lot cheaper than having to supply science equipment or something like that, and put thousands of people out to become television and radio reporters. And it was just this big, classy, high-end job, which it really isn't. It's really about, sitting in some boring meeting and listening and trying to pick out the one kernel of something important, or the one lie.
Well, I'm laughing I'm thinking about, the local council meeting that you will have the news reporter go to, and you'll say to them, what happened last night? And then, after they're there a couple of months, they kind of know what to listen for, what not to listen for, and who's the guy in charge, that kind of a thing. But,
and it's not a classy job. It's not, Woodward and Bernstein, bless their hearts. I mean, I worked for Bernstein. They sort of... I sort of ruined it for everybody. I don't know. I sort of wish that journalism had stayed a bit more seedy. Not really the gentleman. They didn't have big parties like they do when they have the nerd prom, the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and they have all the people come in.
Right.
But I should say, he has to say, that my book is not about deep and dark subjects and lofty thoughts like this. My guy is on a BMW R60 motorcycle, which he drives at absolutely insane speeds, mainly because there are people trying to kill him right behind him.
Now
want to make sure that we make that clear.
I understand that.
It's not a serious book.
Well, on the cover of the book, he's got long hair and sunglasses. So, he's not
going to be. His hair, I can show you the real picture. His hair was nowhere near as long as mine was.
Oh. Well, again, this
but he's cuter.
This part of a fiction book, so you can create him in any way or shape or form that you'd like.
I began to write about myself, and I got bored. it only took about a day. I was like, I can't stand this guy. And I would never read it. So I based it on a picture, a photo I found of Nick Cage at about 22 on a motorcycle. I said, okay, that's the guy.
Well, there's a lot of great pictures of guys in their motorcycles, from the days. And
motorcycles, anyone who doesn't ride, motorcycles are more fun than you can possibly imagine. And I don't have a bike right now. I'm hoping if I sell enough books, this is it's more almost a charity campaign. If you buy enough copies of Courier, I may be able to get another motorcycle.
Now, you've done, as a TV producer, journalist, traveled around the world. What was that like for you to kind of travel to other countries, cover events, kind of know that what you're reporting on or looking at is something that you need the rest of the world to know or understand?
Well, yeah, that actually I did get the chance to. I worked for Ted Koppel and Nightline for 8 years. And I, in one relatively short period, you know, I did the primary coverage of Tiananmen Square, meaning that they shipped the tapes out to Hong Kong and I put them together. And I ended up flying into Berlin a day and a half before the wall went down. I was the only reporter still in East Berlin, where nobody would believe it was going to happen. I got to go to South Africa before and after they dropped apartheid, and a number of other places. I can tell you that every city, and I've been to every state in the United States because I covered the election campaigns, and I can absolutely assure you that every city in the world essentially looks like an airport, a hotel, an edit room, and a feed suite.
You can find.
There may be other things there. I don't know.
Right.
What do you think life would be like today if you worked, in the so-called social media day?
Well, I was one of the very first. I actually had a CompuServe account in 1979, which I used to play a game called British Legends, which is, you know, you found a knife. Do you want to turn right, left? There's a giant to your rear. And when they put the first PC into the ABC Bureau, I sat there all night and I flatlined that sucker. They never repaired it. I completely destroyed it playing that game as I was trying to get the speed up higher. I worked on 2 dot-coms, mostly with streaming media. That's why I can't believe it when I see streaming media now, because we almost had to. We were joking to each other that we had to send a technician out to everybody's house and tweak their computer so they could receive anything we were sending. Yeah. It was so bad. Well, they did not succeed. But, I mean, no, it's much the same. It's, you know, there's always been a subculture in Washington, not a subculture, but, I mean, there are these newsletters. And the newsletter, the writer knows everything there is to know about what happens in 3 offices in the Federal Trade Commission. They know everybody there. They know everything they do, and they write it up. And that sort of gets filtered to the next person in line, And, you know, there's a chain of life or something. I mean, for news, I mean, and it's not that different with new media, social media. Except there's a lot more lying out there.
Well, that's, I mean, that's what
with
you...
social media, you really can just lie your head off.
You have to do a lot of comparison shopping, so to speak, out there with information.
Well, I used to. I actually did one of the ads. I think I did the first news blog. I worked for a really sweet radio guy named Don Imus. You might have heard of him.
Sure.
Yeah, I did 3 years for him. That was brutal. And during the day, I wrote a thing called The Daily Imus to get people to watch it. I had 15,000 people signed up to get it. And I think every day I would write something and then put under it, don't believe anything you read on the internet.
The book, go ahead. I was just going to say that, getting information out there kind of is what you like to do, and get information, things that are happening as well. You continue to do that, I suppose, as well as writing books or writing this book as well?
Right now, mostly I'm just writing this book. Okay. And I've written the sequel, which is Warrior, which has to do with the Wounded Knee episode and the fact that all the Indian reservations in the West are sitting on top of major soft coal, triple coal formations. I'm writing another book. Actually, it's being written. Nice thing also about now is that you can be a pseudonym really easily. So I'm considering my next book may be being written by my evil twin.
Uh-oh.
Sam Irving. Maybe you may be talking to Sam next time when he's doing a completely different book. It was never really the getting the news out. Sometimes it was. We were the first ones to do Katrina. People don't remember when Katrina came ashore. We all thought that it was wonderful that the storm had gone right between sort of the two places that really would have been bad. And Jean Meserve, bless her, called in at 10 o'clock and we were doing a show. And her voice is shaking and it's, you know, there are no lights. And she says she can hear the levee had broken in the 19th Ward. And she's describing how she can hear the people screaming. And it was absolutely, I mean, every once in a while, you do get the feeling that you're telling people something important. Mandela's release, whatever. But most of the time, it's the pleasure of working with people who wanted to come in this morning. That's the main thing.
I like
you
that.
Do it. You have it.
Sure.
I mean, there's not that many jobs in this world where everybody in that place wanted to be there. And television for 40 years has been one of them.
The book is called Courier. Where did all those couriers go? Obviously, that's an outdated boat, right? Nobody needs a motorcycle. You just sort of email it or you transport it.
I ran into one guy. There's one guy who was working for CNN when I was there 4 or 5 years ago, who was working for CBS when I was in 1973 when I was writing. No, they don't even have bureaus in Washington really anymore. Everything goes directly to New York because it's just, I mean, we had to carry it around on film. I mean, to get material in from Vietnam, it had to go and ship to Hong Kong to the one satellite feed. And now it's, you can feed with, you know, I think you can probably feed with your iPhone.
Yeah.
It's frightening.
We used to have had commercials. People from here would have to go down to a Greyhound bus station to pick up commercials, you know, really.
That
had come down, had to come down, and you're thinking, well, is it there? You got to go pick them up. Now they can make changes on the fly. If there's something news, you know, they can instantly say, update the copy, and here it is. So the timeline has gotten shorter.
I actually describe REA. I don't know if you remember that, Railway Express Agency. Which was actually shipping freight on all of in the baggage holds of all the airlines. And I used to have to go there every night.
Wow. You write stuff like that, you start to realize how long you've been in the business and you're writing things that are now in history books or old technology that are now in museums. That's where you can see.
That was, I got to tell you, that was a surprise for me. You go along and you live your life and you become older than dirt. But you don't really think about it. And then I would go back and write about 1972, and there were no blacks. There were no women. Everybody smoked like chimneys in every possible location. And everything we did, no computers. We had fax machines. Took 2 minutes to send a page, if it got sent. You usually found that it didn't. You had to do it again. Teletypes pounding around. I mean, it's like Victorian London.
Right.
It's that different than anything now.
That makes you think, well, wow, that's, you know, if you think back from now to the 1970s, back in the 70s would be like if you were looking at something from the 1930s and realizing how things have changed. And you always thought that was just black and white and in the past. But
right. I can tell you one thing was that I, riding a motorcycle back in 72, I never expected to live this long.
Well, be careful with that new motorcycle you get from the royalties from this book.
Let me tell you, the royalties from this book, I'll be able to get a moped.
The book is called Courier. It's the new thriller from Terry Irving. If people want to get the book, find out more about it, what's a good place for them to do it?
Well, there's www.terryirving.com, which is good, and it's available. It's available in, I would say, everywhere. And if you go into your local bookstore, if they still exist, and they don't have it, I think you should pound your fist on the counter and say, why don't you have this book?
Right. Or get up to the second floor, take the escalator, and yell from the balcony part of the bookstore.
Or whatever, yeah. Make a fuss. And if they do have it, then say, I didn't mean that. I meant Warrior, the sequel. We have that.
Get them both, a two-for-one, perhaps. I don't know. Get to work on that samirving.com. You'll need that website, too, so apparently,
yeah,
in the future.
Yeah, you know, that's the other thing. It's real easy. I have seven websites.
You got to keep things up in the, you know, up and running as much as possible. Terry, we appreciate the time this morning and sharing the stories. Lots of fun.
Sure, it's fun talking to you.
Thanks very much, Terry.
Nice questions. Thank you.
Sure. Terry Irving, the book again called Courier.